Oh, I'll tell you, preacher, you could have kept right on going as far as I was concerned. That's pretty good preaching, isn't it? Time to preach against sin. You know, I said this morning, and I'll say it again tonight, I didn't orchestrate things, but if I could, I would have had that song sung. Thank God I am free. You don't know what that means to me tonight, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, no time at all really to explain it, but it just touches me so much. That one line, like a poor, wretched beggar. That's who we are outside of Jesus. Beggars. Begging at the cisterns of the world. Never being satisfied. Because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Poor, wretched beggar. And now, a child of the King. What a transformation. That song touches me so much, I made a request to my wife. I have no way to make it happen, but I like that song at my funeral. Because I will truly be free then. Free from this old body of sin. Free from all the onslaughts of the devil. Free from all the temptations. Free! Forever with my Lord. And thank God I am free now, and I will be freer up in heaven. It just gets sweeter as the days go by. Isn't that right? Oh, you all been so kind. I mean, I just enjoyed seeing you all this morning and rekindling our friendship. I'm not so sure whether it's my preaching, my wife's playing, or my boots. But I thank you for your kindness. I've already had several offers for them. I'll see what the highest bidder might be by the end of the week. Luke chapter number 13 in your Bible tonight. We're going to read from verse number 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. I don't think we understand, the majority of people don't understand what great preaching is. Great preaching is not great oratory. Great preaching is not some fancy style, nor some holy, pious tone. The greatest preacher in all the world was that of Jesus Christ. Amen. Simple, plain, and to the point. But sometimes we mix up style with content. A little boy came home from Sunday school one day and said, Mama, Mama, guess what? I said, what's that, son? God called me to preach. What, son? You're only 8 years old. God didn't call you to preach. Mama, I'm telling you, God called me to preach. Get out of here. Mama, God didn't. God called you to preach. Let me hear you preach. He goes, and a little red hen came in the barnyard. I told you, son, God didn't call you to preach. Now get out of here. Well, a few weeks went by. He came home from Sunday school again. He says, Mama, Mama, guess what? I said, what's that? God called me to preach. Son, we already went through this. God didn't call you to preach. You're only 8 years old. No, Mama, God called me to preach. He said, is God called to preach? Let me hear you preach. And he goes, and the little red hen, glory to God, hallelujah, came in the barnyard. You got it, son, you got it. And there's a difference between style and content. And sometimes we put too much emphasis on the style when the content is valuable. Now, you don't find any greater preacher than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he always used simple illustrations in his preaching. But they always had a spiritual meaning. In our text of Scripture in verse number 6 of Luke 13, he spake a parable. Now you understand that a parable is a story that has a spiritual truth to it. It's not an actual event. Sometimes men make things in the Bible parables when God didn't say it was a parable. When it's a parable, the Bible always says a parable. Some people like to make Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus being in hell as a parable. But Jesus didn't say it was a parable. And parables never mention actual people's names. It is always a sower went forth to sow. Just general things to get the point across. This is a parable. Jesus is saying there's a spiritual truth in this story that I want you to know and understand. And he gave this parable. He gave a parable about a man that had a fig tree. Man kept coming to the fig tree and never found fig. Now, as far as I know, there's only one reason to plant a fig tree, and that is to get good. But he didn't have any. He got so frustrated year after year finding a barren tree. He says, just cut the thing down. I know how he felt. When we moved into our present home, which is also the house that I grew up in, and I told my boys, I grew up in that house, and now my boys have grown up in that house. And so don't try to hide anything. I know all the good hiding places, having grown up there. We first moved in. Our next door neighbor had a backyard of peach trees, and she brought over a little peach tree as a welcome to the neighborhood gesture. We got the boys gathered around, and we're going to plant this peach tree. And it's going to grow, and we're going to have peaches. And Mama's going to make peach pie and peach cobbler, and we're going to have fresh peaches. And we couldn't wait. Year after year, that tree got bigger and bigger and bigger and never had a peach. Now, one year, there was a blossom. I saw it. And I said, we're going to get at least one peach out of this tree. And I went out there every day and I looked at that thing. And pretty soon that blossom began to form a little peach, a little green peach. I know we're going to have a peach. And that's going to be our first peach off our peach tree. And I went out there one day, and it had shriveled up and fell down. I said, that's it. Into the garage, got the chainsaw, boom, off it went. I understood how this man feels. I know he came seeking fruit. You know what it is, you have a garden and you plant tomatoes or cucumbers. If nothing comes up, that's pretty discouraging, isn't it? And this man says, I've had it, cut it down. But this is not the first time in the Bible that Jesus used an illustration to teach us something he wants us to know. Look at Mark chapter 11. We'll come back to Luke in a bit. But in Mark chapter number 11, again, Jesus speaks of a fig tree much different than this. This is not a parable. The Luke passage is a parable. This is not a parable. The Bible says in verse 12 of Mark 11, and on the morrow, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Jesus, in his humanity, was hungry. Walking along the roadside. Now, in Bible times, if you had a farm, you are commanded by the Bible, by the teaching of Scriptures, to plant along the roadside. You are not allowed to harvest that. You were not allowed. That was not yours. The harvest by the roadside were for the travelers. You might say they were the McDonald's walkthrough of the day. There were people walked by, the traveler, if you had fig trees or other fruit trees, they would be legally able to partake and eat that fruit. You had to plant it, you had to maintain it, but you couldn't harvest it. It was for the traveler. God has a perfect plan for everything, doesn't He? If we only follow it. And so, Jesus saw this fig tree. And He says, I'm hungry. And He's looking to the tree. And He finds nothing on the tree but leaves. He says to it in verse number 14, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now I want you to go down in verse number 20, because now it's the next day. He's coming back from where he was. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus said, you have no fruit. He cursed it. The next day, it withered up, dried up, and died. The fig tree, at least there's a variety of fig trees, this is kind of unusual, is that most trees have leaves that come out. After the leaves, you get the blossom. Then the pollination takes place. Then the fruit develops. Particular brand of fig tree, variety of fig tree, the figs come first. And when the figs are ready, then the leaves are there. So a tree that had leaves signified, I have figs. I have fruit. But this tree was in hypocrisy. It looked good on the outside, but it did not fulfill the purpose for which it was planted, nor for the need of our Savior as He saw fruit upon it. If the Lord was looking for beauty, this tree would have sufficed. If the Lord was looking for shade, this tree would have provided it. But He was looking for fruit. And you know, folks, that's what God wants out of our life today, fruit. He's not looking for something on the outside and glorious. And He's looking for fruit. He's looking for what we are producing. Now, let me ask you, since you have been saved, what have you produced for God? What have you produced? What fruit from your salvation is evident in life today? That's what God wants. He wants us to produce fruit for Him. Have you ever stopped to think that God saved you to be fruitful, not just to enjoy your salvation? Now, I enjoy my salvation. Matter of fact, I enjoy it so much, I want other people to have it so they could enjoy it too. And the Lord said, you have no fruit. And He cursed it. It withered up. It dried away. And how many churches today are beautiful in architecture, are beautiful in music, are beautiful in their programs, but they're not producing fruit for God in the winning of souls and in the reviving of the saints of God. All leaves. A lot of Christian lives are like that tonight. It looks so good on the outside. The leaves are so nice. They're so beautiful, but there is no fruit. I wonder if you were to look around in your church auditorium tonight, how many are here because of you? How many will be in heaven because of you? I know we don't see, I understand, we don't see all the results of our fruit down there. I understand that. We give to missions and we don't see the half down here of what God, I understand that. But I also understand that in our locality, we should have fruit for the Lord. It was mentioned tonight. One reason I feel so much at home in this church is that we got a lot of folks from New England. But there was the fruit of Mountain View Baptist Church produced here, producing more fruit for you. And Jesus cursed this tree. It withered up and it died. And I wonder tonight how many lives are withered away. Oh, you're faithful. You're coming. Thank God for that. And that's a blessing. But God wants fruit from your life and from my life tonight. It's like when I was in a mall one day and I walked by a men's store and there was a mannequin. And I had a nice suit, but the tie caught my eye. I said, oh, I like that tie. So I went in and I inquired to the salesperson. I said, you got a mannequin out in front and it's got a real nice tie. I'd like to buy that tie. He said, well, just a minute. He went to the back room and he came out and he said, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have any more. I said, well, just take one off the dummy. I mean, he didn't mess it up, right? All he did was stand in the window. That's all. He said, I can't sell that to you. I said, what do you mean you can't say? He said, that's for display purposes only. And I wonder, is our Christianity for display purposes only? Or are we functional? Are we useful in the harvest field of the Lord? I mean, we talk right, we live right, we look right, but there's no fruit. And this fig tree was cursed. And in our text, the disciples notice that the fig tree whom thou cursed is dried up from the roots, from the very bottom. It's dried. I don't want that kind of life. I don't want a life that dries out. I don't want a life that stops producing fruit for the Lord. But let's go back to the other fig tree. We'll keep this one in mind, but we want to go back to the other one in Luke. Luke chapter 14. This fig tree had the same problem as the other one that Jesus cursed. Now, I don't know if they were related or not, but they had the same problem. They were both fig trees that were not producing fruit. The man came, the owner, the vineyard, and says, cut it down. Cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? In Luke 13, he said, I've had it. However, there was an intercessor. Somebody came along. That tree was destined for destruction. That tree was destined for the woodpile. That tree was destined to be cut down. But somebody intervened. There was an intercessor that says, Master, wait a minute. Let's give it another chance. Let's give it another. Aren't you glad when you were on the verge of destruction, there was an intercessor called Jesus who came in your place? Yeah. That there was somebody on your behalf when our sin and the justice of our sin demanded judgment and demanded death. There was an intercessor that says, Father, I'll go on their behalf. And you came to church, or you listened to a soul winner, and the intercessor of the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart and gave you the conviction of your sin, and you had faith to believe, to reach out to Christ, and you have new life now, and God's given you another chance, hasn't He? All right. The intercessor came and said, Master, let me take care of it. Kind of like the Holy Spirit saying, Father, let me work with them a little bit. Let me bring some conviction upon their heart. Let me bring some thought into their mind. Let me work with them. And Lord, before you utterly cast them off, give me a chance to work with them. Just give me a little bit of time. Aren't you glad God didn't write you off the first time you rejected Him? I don't know. Maybe you were saved the very first time you heard the gospel. That does happen. But most of us aren't like that. There are some, and thank God I envy you. You didn't fight God. You knew it, and you just yielded right away. There are some of us that are too stubborn, but the Holy Spirit was stronger, and He brought us under the conviction of salvation. And He says, Master, just leave it alone. Let me take care of it. I'm going to dig. Maybe the soil got hard, and the water runs off. Instead of going down to the depth of the roots, let me soften up the soil. Oh, folks, that's what I want God to do in our hearts this week. Soften the soil of our hearts. We get so hard and we don't even know it. We sit under the preaching of the Word of God and we say, yep, I know that. Yep, I know that. But could we ask God to dig around the soil of our soul this week? Soften it. Ask God to give you a soft heart in the preaching. The soft heart for the music. Let me dig around it to make the soil soft. And maybe pull out some rocks that are hindering it from growing. and to pull out maybe some weeds that are choking it, that it's not getting the nutrition that it needs. Yeah, yeah. How many here have gardens? Any of you have a garden? Yeah, a good number of you. Good number. Now, if you have a garden, you know what weeding is, right? And so, I don't know. I plant vegetables, weeds come up. I was thinking of using reverse psychology, planting weeds and see if vegetables come up. But you know what it's like. You go out there to weed, and what do? You pull up a weed, and what happens? You get a chunk of dirt. What do? Do you just take that and throw it aside? No, you take that and you shake it, right? And you shake it, so all the dirt goes back down. And then you take that which is useless and that which is hindering the growth of the garden, and you cast it aside. That's what God wants to do this week. He wants to reach down and pull out some of the hard areas of our life. He wants to reach down and pull out some of those things that are choking. And folks, it hurts sometimes. Now, God may hurt you, but He'll never harm you. And there's a big difference between the two. When I went in for some years ago for my gallbladder surgery, it hurt, but I wasn't harmed by it. Actually, I was made better because of it. And that sometimes we just hang on to things that we ought to let go of. But they're hurting us. We have a chipmunk problem. You got chipmunk problem. But we have chipmunks all over the place. And I don't mind. They're cute little things. Except when they go down the side of the house and make a hole down the side of the house in which water gets in. And in the wintertime freezes and causes all kinds of problems. So I have a heart trap, if you're familiar with that. Doesn't hurt the animal. I catch the animal, just close him up. He's alive. There's no clamps or anything. I catch him. And then sometimes I just bring him about a mile up the road and I let him go in somebody else's yard. But sometimes other things get caught in the trap besides a chipmunk. One day one of my boys comes and says, "Dad, there's something big in the trap." I went out and looked, and there's this big fuzzy thing in the trap. I got closer and I saw the white stripe on the back. How do you get a skunk out of a trap without him getting too nervous? Well, we found a way. But one day I went out there and there was a possum. Now, I don't know about you, but a possum is one of the ugliest looking animals I've ever seen. It's like a rat on steroids. And I'm getting there, and a possum looks and goes, you know how possums are, you know? And I said, well, I don't want to hurt the possum, and I guess they're good for other things, you know? So, and I'm just going to let him go. So I open up the trap, and he just sits there going, and I'm kicking the trap, get out! He goes, the door's open! That dumb thing wouldn't leave the trap. I take that habit, I pick that up, and I'm shaking it, and he's hanging on. He would not leave. He wanted, I'm trying to set you free, and he's hanging on and getting mad at me. Is that much different than us and God? He's trying to set you free tonight from the thing that plagues you. Whether it be an unforgiving spirit, whether it be a troublesome heart, whether it be something in your life that God's been dealing with you, some physical sin, some emotional turmoil, God is trying to set you free, and we're hanging on to the cage. And maybe He's even shaking it a little bit, and we refuse to let go. He said, let me pull out some of the weeds. Let me pull out some of the rocks. Let me pull out some of the things that are harming its growth. But not only that, he said, let me put fertilizer on it. I'm not only going to take out, I'm going to put in. And God wants to do that in your life. Put in the fertilizer, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Put in the fertilizer of Bible devotional time. Put in the fertilizer of prayer to draw nearer to the Lord. There was an intercessor that took that tree, and the tree was given a second chance. God says, I promise to give beauty for ashes. God says, I can prepare a table in the wilderness for you. That's what God wants to do this week in our life. Folks, you're good folks. I enjoy being around you immensely. If ever you decide to move this church to Waterbury, Connecticut, you let me know. But folks, tonight there are things God wants to do in our life. You know, I made mention this morning, my wife and I are going on 45 years of marriage. Some of you have us beat. God bless you. It's wonderful. It just gets better all the time. But you know, the day she stood at that altar and I looked at her and I was going to marry her, I made one big mistake. That didn't quite come out right, but you know what I mean. I didn't think I could love her any more than I did at that moment. But I was wrong. Almost 45 years later, I find a greater love for her than at the beginning. And folks, that's how it is with Jesus. You love Him. I know you do. But don't we want to love Him more? Don't we want to get a little closer to Him? Don't we want to embrace Him a little bit more? But there are weeds and there are rocks and there's hard soil that's preventing that fruit of love from developing in our life. And the Holy Spirit of God is saying, Father, let me help them take all that out. Would you let Him this week? Would you yield to Him and say to God, take those things from my life which displease you, Lord, that my love for you may grow more and more. I'm not saying you don't love the Lord. You do love the Lord. I'm just saying, let's love Him more than what we did now. Don't make it, oh, I couldn't love Him any more than I do now. Oh, then you don't understand what real love is, because love grows and love develops. It never reaches a point and stops, but it goes on. Well, I have a problem with this text of Scripture, because Jesus never finished the parable. I would have loved to have known what happened after a year. Did the tree produce fruit and go on and prove itself? Or indeed, was it cut down and thrown into the fire? We don't know. And I think for a good reason. It could have gone either way. And so can you. And tonight, I'm going to ask you tonight, God's given you another chance, another revival, another church service. How many sermons have you listened to? How many preachers have graced this pulpit? And yet God's been dealing with you about something and you have not yet surrendered and fully yielded. God's given you another chance. Maybe in the past you made a promise to the Lord. You promised God something. God kept His end. But you didn't keep yours. Would you tonight renew that promise? Maybe you promised God, I'm gonna be an honest tither. 10% off my gross at the top. God, it's yours. And somewhere along the line, the bills needed to be paid, and you thought you could rob from God to pay them. Maybe you made God another promise of faithfulness in the church service. And yet, maybe you've done well. Maybe you've done well for a while, but we could all do better. Maybe you made God a promise and said, God, I'm going to witness to that person. And you didn't. God's given you another chance to witness to that one. God's given you another chance to invite somebody to the services. We have a wonderful crowd here, but there's still some empty spots that could be filled in. God's given you another opportunity. Will you take it tonight? You see, two fig trees. One cursed, withered, dried away. The other given another opportunity. Will you take the opportunity that God is giving you tonight? You say, preacher, I failed God. I know. That's why there's forgiveness. You said, preacher, I just didn't do what I told God I would do. That's why there's forgiveness. You said, preacher, I fell. That's why there's forgiveness tonight. God's given you another chance. Another chance to witness to that person. Another chance to pass out that track. Another chance to invite somebody to the revival meetings and hear about Jesus. I could not preach this message to any other crowd except the Sunday night crowd here tonight. But folks, if God is going to fill this altar with repentant sinners, we have to have a fruitful life for Him. Don't let anything hinder your fruit. Would you ask God tonight to search your heart, take from you those things that displease Him tonight, to pull from the soil those things that are hindering the fruit of God in your life. And honey, would you come to the piano?